This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
This is Sparta with Simon Tinsley.
Throughout ancient Greece, Spartans were seen as the most law-abiding citizens of all the city-states. This is not only because of their militaristic lifestyle, but also due to their unusual form of government that appears to combine different styles of government into the system. Hello, and welcome to This is Sparta, where I, Simon Tinsley, attempt to guide you through some of the unusual features of Spartan life, set it apart from other Greek city-states of ancient Greece. In this episode, I will discuss the Spartan constitution that combined elements of monarchy, oligarchy, and democracy within its government. They decided upon a tripartite system, including the kings, the ephors, and the gerissa. When the numerous states of Greece began to establish themselves between 1000 and 800 BC, they suffered through a stage known as the Age of the Tyrants. During this time, self-serving individuals managed to seize power and wield it for their own benefit without regard for their citizens. Once overthrown, these tyrants left a deep and lasting distrust of any form of rule that was centred on a single person, which led to more aristocratic governments. Sparta alone chose to retain some aspect of monarchy, though, and instead of one king, they had two. These were hereditary posts from two families, the Agiad and the Eurypontid families, each able to trace their lineage back to the demigod, Hercules. The kings received several privileges, such as double rations, hereditary priesthoods, which meant that they had sole rights to consult the oracles, and as such were freely provided with ample animals so they could offer regular sacrifices to the gods. They were not, however, completely above the law, a fact re-established each month when they renewed their oath to adhere to the laws of state to the ephors, who in turn, representing the citizens, swore to maintain the monarchy. This apparent weak position changes during time of war. The kings reserved the right to declare war on whom they deemed fit. While abroad, the army is led by one of the kings, who is accompanied by one of the ephors. In times of need, the king could dismiss his advisers and act with absolute power over the army. Limiting this power is the fact that upon his return to Sparta, he may be held accountable for his actions by the ephors and forced to face trial, possible banishment, or even death. But who were these ephors that had this great power over the monarchy? They were five in number, and elected by all full Spartan citizens, and held office for 1 year, after which they could not be re-elected. Their powers covered a wide spectrum of Spartan life, including legal, judicial, and administrative aspects of the state. They dictated the composition of the army and became ambassadors of Sparta, bestowing on them the greatest influence over foreign policy by negotiating treaties with foreign powers. It is no doubt that such wide-ranging influences on society is why the ephors were limited to only 1 year of office to avoid long-term influence on the development of state affairs. The short duration of office, coupled with their influence on foreign affairs, led to the ephors being very susceptible to bribery and corruption in order to make the best of their time in office. This all suggests that the ephors held the bulk of power in Sparta, but this was in turn tempered by the third element of government, the gerissa. This was an elected group of 28 men over the age of 60 who were considered either too old or too infirm to be of further use to the military. After 50 years of state education and military service, these men were deeply seeped in the traditions and ideals of the state, so were unlikely to agree to any radical changes of Spartan life. In addition to the 28 members, two chairs were reserved for the kings. Once elected, they held their posts until death. While the E4s were free to impose fines on citizens seen to be breaking moral or religious laws, any major crimes, such as those laid against either of the kings, and any changes to laws or policies, were to be referred to the Garissa. Their voting power and the Spartan respect for the monarchy allowed the kings to greatly influence the decisions made here, doing much to reset the balance of power between themselves and the E4s. Unlike Athens, where votes were made anonymously on shards of pottery to be counted later, decisions in the Garissa were decided by volume. The option which received the loudest and longest cheer was chosen. On occasion, it was decided that a decision was to be made by the entire citizen body. This included all male full citizens, except those deployed abroad with the army. No debate was permitted. Instead, they were simply given chosen options decided upon by the Garissa, and again, the vote was made by shouting. Thus we see a form of monarchy within the two kings, oligarchy by the rule of an elected group of elders in the Garissa, and democracy by the election of these elders and via the votes given to the entire citizen body on important issues. Alongside this mixture, the militaristic way of life and emphasis of the needs of the state outweighing the needs of the individual has led to comparison with totalitarian regimes such as Nazi Germany and revolutionary China. However, it is viewed this mixed constitution worked in tandem with the militaristic education system to allow Sparta to maintain its position as the premier land force in Greece until the rise of Macedonia.
For more, This is Sparta. You can go to RNIB Connect Radio's Audio Boom pages and search for This is Sparta.